Hello and a warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's battling draw at East Fife, preview this weekend's visit of league leaders Tenerife, and news of two arrivals on loan last week, one of which is a familiar face. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. I am Colin Byers, and with me as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Good evening. Not too bad, thanks. How are you?
Maybe a lot better than I was last week. It's maybe the eagle ear views. Maybe would have noticed a few hosts and coughs in the background. That was me just in the cusp of my man flu for last week, but much better than I was this time last week. Let's put it that way.
Man flu, it's a serious condition.
Oh, aye. I mean, there should be more research done on it. I would think, are these charities and that? You never see anything about man flu and anybody doing walks or anything like that for man flu. So, yeah, it was quite bad last week.
Is this when you tell me this summer we're going to be doing some sort of walk to raise money for man flu research?
You might be, but I'm not. Walking is not my forte, let's put it that way. We might do, like, if it did Peter Kay do once for a sit-down thing for comic relief or something of mine.
Oh, aye, we can do that. It's not like we do it anyway, is it?
Aye, somebody might just give us money for it instead, do that way. Yeah, but yeah, much better than last week, yeah, I have to say. We've buttoned down the hatches again. Another storm just blew by us this weekend. Seem to be getting more and more of them.
Yeah, another one due on Wednesday as well, I'm hearing. So, yeah, fantastic.
Absolute boost. Anyway, right, let's get cracking. Obviously, news last week. It broke last week, but it kind of appeared out of nowhere, really, in the newspapers that they would sign two players on loan, Flynn Duffy and Alfie Stewart, for Aberdeen. Flynn, obviously, for Dundee United. There was nothing, obviously, confirmed for the club, nothing confirmed for either club either, so obviously we took it with a pinch of salt, give it like some of these tabloids were, and I'm not sure exactly which tabloid it was, but going by the sort of writing and the fonts it was used, I'm guessing it was one of the red tops it was in, so we didn't say anything, we'll just make sure that everything's confirmed first, but it was eventually confirmed Flynn Duffy and Alfie Stewart are both in on loan until the end of the season. A couple of good young signings to help us out, but I guess obviously to fight for places as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Two, you know, really, really good signings. Obviously, Flynn Duffy, we've heard before. You can't exactly figure getting with him, but he's also developed. He's another 2 years further on in his career, so I think it'll be a really good signing. Left foot as well, because it's that wee bit more balance in the squad, I think. And then Alfie Stewart, obviously, just making his way in the game, breaking through at Aberdeen. Really good reports from him in the last couple of months. If you believe the rumours coming to Aberdeen, he's destined to go into really good things within the club. So, yeah, I think for Ryan and Jordan and the club to get these two guys in alone, I think they're really astute bit of business. I think they're clever, they're smart. Looking forward to seeing what they can do.
So, Flynn, as you said, we already know Flynn from his time back in the 21-22 season where he was on loan and played 29 games in that period of time, 26 starts as well, which is a lot of game time for somebody of such a young age. Got 3 assists in that time as well. And played relatively well and went back to Dundee United for the 22-23 season, wasn't used for whatever reason at the start of the season, then he was loaned out to Stirling Albion, but this time in 23. Played 13 times, so then 10 starts, 2 goals and an assist, helped them to win the League 2 title. So again, plenty of game time for him as well. And again, back to Dundee United again, and for some reason again, not being used in the first team this season, in the 23-24 season, has just had one appearance for Dundee United, and that was in the 15 minutes cameo against the Dunfermline in the League Challenge Cup. So somebody who's desperate for game time, obviously isn't being fancied by Jim Goodwin for whatever reason. Spent a few games on the bench for Dundee United this season, but just hasn't been used. I think for me, more significantly, he's out of contract at the end of the season as well.
Yeah, this could be one of them, the one to watch sort of things, because it wouldn't be the first time we've had a player on loan and then we've sort of managed to get him on a permanent, you know, for the following season. So, Flynn enjoyed his time by all accounts at the club last time. I'm sure he wouldn't have come back if he didn't. He's obviously bought into the project that Ryan and Jordan are doing, what they're building. Yeah, wouldn't be surprised if there's maybe, you know, something in the background that we could maybe get him for next season, but hopefully we've got him just now and he can kick on again.
Yeah, it's probably one of those things, though. He's obviously full-time at Dundee United. He may be thinking he wants to stay in full-time, but if he does well here and plays well for us, and whether or not we get up at the end of the season or not, he could sign a pre-contract. And, you know, there is a pathway where he could go back up into full-time football again. Having, you look at maybe some of the teams that might bring him in full-time at the end of the season, the lack of game time for Dundee United as a championship side may be the thing it would play against him.
Yeah, that might hamper them, whatever. You know, if another club's looking at him, that might be something that's a bit of a sticking point. Grant Savory, probably one of the Ian's more recent years. He sort of was the game a wee bit. He dropped out to part-time fit, but had played really well for us. We knew within the first couple of games he was destined to go on to, you know, bigger things, with all due respect, and a really, really good footballer. And he got a move. It's a full-time club, and I think there is that pathway, as you said, for players if they drop down to be a head, it's part-time football. But with that gentleman's agreement of, look, if a full-time club come in, I want to be able to speak to them. And Pierre will never shirk away from that. They'll always make that a pathway, that if you play well for us, because everybody benefits. We get also a good player. The player gets a move, you know, and that there can be something in it for the club. So, yeah, I think Flynn's maybe just, I wouldn't say it's a step backwards, I would say it's a step sidewards. And he claims if he can play well between now and the end of the season, there is that option that we might try and pick him up at the end of the season. And if not, there's maybe an option for another club to come in for him, you know, and he can get full-time fit back again.
And he gives us that balance on the left-hand side, an out-and-out left-back, can play further forward if need be. Obviously, we've been playing Caleb in there, we've played Danny in there. Jordan Armstrong seems to be sort of in and out of the team for various reasons. So he will, if he's fit, injury-free, away from any suspensions, he should be where left back for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't mind the wingers being opposite Fuchs and cutting inside, but I do like the right back and the left back in a club, or the sort of in the team, to be naturally left footed and naturally right footed in that specific roles. I just think it gives you a lot more balance to your team. And yeah, Flynn coming in, and you said he can push slightly further forward as well. He's a defensive-minded player, but he's quite happy to try and get forward. Whereas I'd maybe say Jordan Armstrong is slightly more reserved to get forward. I think Flynn's certainly got the pace as well to try and get back again. Maybe Jordan, isn't it? So, yeah, different qualities that both players have got. But yeah, looking forward to seeing Flynn back at Belmood again.
And Alfie Stewart is a midfielder. Just signed a new deal with Aberdeen to keep him for another couple of seasons, I think, as well. So they obviously, as you said, have got high hopes for him. And the last time we got a lone player for Aberdeen who they thought they had high hopes for was Ryan Duncan. So if he can be, you know, as half as good as what Ryan was during his spell, it'd be, we've got a player and a half there. But a player that can play in centre midfield or on the right hand side as well, to give us again a bit more options in the midfield.
Yeah, probably an area that, as we've seen in recent weeks, we've been lacking in a couple of injuries in the midfield area, and we sort of struggle. I'm also pleased that we've got a player in Aberdeen so quickly after Aaron Reid. I think there was maybe a wee bit, maybe potentially unrest between the two clubs in terms of it didn't quite work out for Aaron for various reasons. And we've seen him go to Fermartin and score a hat-trick in his debut. So there maybe is a player there. It just didn't quite work out for us. It's good to see we've still got a good relationship with Aberdeen where we can get loan players. And as you said, Ryan Duncan was the last player that Aberdeen had high hopes for. He's still in the rounds of the fringe of the squad, the first-team squad with Aberdeen and Barry Robson. So, yeah, again, if Alfie Stewart can come here, been good performances. We've got to remember he's still a very young age as well. But again, a player that you're hoping can kick on and we can get the benefit of it.
Yeah, he's captain of the B team, the under 21s, if you want to call him as well. And I actually scored against this in the League Challenge Cup game back in August. And if you think back to that game, he was one of the more standout players for Aberdeen that game.
Yeah, he was. There was three of them on the night that sort of really stuck out. against this, and there was three of them that looked really impressive, and he was one of them, and I'm hoping that he'll come here and he'll learn quite a lot that aids his development with Aberdeen, but also that we'll get a really good player as well.
Yeah, and that's the thing, it's because of his age, maybe the expectations on Aberdeen this time are maybe going to be so high in terms of how much game time he's going to be. He maybe will be happy, or certainly Aberdeen will be happy just to get minutes here and there rather than, you know, being a guaranteed starter, which I don't think, especially at this age, he would be.
No, I don't think he'll be coming in playing 90 minutes week in, week out. I think he'll gradually come into the squad, and then towards the end of his loan spell, you might see him starting more games. As you said, very young, it's a new dressing room for him. Okay, he doesn't need to move or anything, but it's new surroundings for him, new people to get to know. And as I said, he's very young, he's still learning, his game's got a lot to learn in it. But yeah, I think both signings, Flynn and Alfie, will be really good and will give us that balance that we've been looking for a number of weeks now.
Yep, and they both featured on Saturday's game down at East Fife, the 2-2 draw, after being 2-0 down at half-time, which I guess turns out to be a decent point in the end.
Yeah, if you'd said to me 2-0 down, you'll come away with a point out of 10 it. We need to start getting wins. I think we've mentioned that a few times about confidence being low, but we need to try and find a way. I think Jordan mentioned it in the post-match interview as well, that they're looking at why we start games as poorly as what we're doing, and we seem to be sloppy. So thankfully that might get addressed over the next couple of weeks, so that they're actually delving into it. But yeah, probably if you assess it on Saturday, it's a point gained, I would say.
It's much more difficult to win games when you're gaining a 2-0 lead early on. That's the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. We've said it now for, 6 weeks that we've been poor. Even back to the Clyde game in December at the start of it. We just haven't started games well enough, and yeah, we'll probably need to look into them.
So there was four changes. Andy McCarthy was suspended. Roy McAllister dropped out. Joe McKee dropped out. And Robert Warren again dropped out. And Hamish Ritchie came in. Jordan started. Peter Pollock got his first start, and Flynn Duffy, as we said, he started as well. And Pollock was playing just behind maybe Shanks as a two, back to the familiar 4-4-2 with Danny Strachan playing it on the right wing and Hamish on the left. If we're looking for areas to maybe fill in or try and get players back in again, would be on the wings, as we said, we'd much prefer to hear Hamish through the middle. Robert Ward, getting a start, then being benched, and then off the bench, and obviously doesn't help his confidence and doesn't help his flow, if you like, to be the player that we think that he can be.
Yeah, I think Robert he needs a sustained period in the team. As you said, I think this one week in, one week out helps him. He's a confidence player, like most players on the team. Maybe suffering a wee bit at the moment, but he needs to run 3, 4, 5 games to, you know, get into things and take it from there. But it's not quite worked out for him for whatever reason. But yeah, we're probably looking for wingers coming back and maybe even one more through the door. Who knows?
As we said, go off to a slow start, 8 minutes, and the ball was in the back of the net, and obviously disappointing obviously they can see the goal, but disappointing for a number of reasons. It's just a ball over the top, not really sort of dealt with. Then there was obviously the massive deflection off of Caleb Goldie as well, which makes it even more of a sickener to concede it in that way.
Yeah, frustrating. It's early again, but just the way it comes about. And prior to that as well, was Kieran Shanks had an effort that went well over. Jordan Brown had an effort that went over or wide, and you thought, okay, we're trying to hit shots, we're trying to be proactive, and then as you said, a long ball over the top, and we failed to deal with it, and then within a matter of seconds, the ball's in the back of the net. It's unfortunate for Caleb, it took a deflection. I think he's going in without that deflection. I think Scott slipped as well, as the ball was sort of in the area. So yeah, disappointing and frustrating, and sort of gives a massive uphill task going and goal down so early.
Yeah, Nathan Austin, the one player that we mentioned in the preview last week, hadn't done much against us. And to be honest with you, apart from that one, which obviously, as we said, was a massive deflection, he had a free kick, which he blazed over. Wasn't much else that really he did in the game.
No, he didn't do much when we played them doing their last time. From, you know, he sort of nullified and everything. So, yeah, he's I think on his days he's a good player. We seem to have gotten the better of him, but you know, on this occasion he managed to get a yard of space through our own fault, and obviously the deflection has taken it in the back of the net.
And then it was 2-0 after 22 minutes. Another poor goal to concede, this time for a corner. Page with the header. Unclear as to why Jordan was marking him. I'd probably prefer one of the centre halves to be marking him, but obviously that's obviously due to them as to why. Gets away for Jordan, and it's a fairly simple header for him, you know, getting down into the ground and you're beating the keeper.
Yeah, before the ball's come in, the striker, he's sort of made the movement towards the ball. He's stopped. Jordan's gone with it. So when the ball does actually come in, the defender's got, the attacker's got that extra yard. He's gone up above Jordan. Jordan can't get any higher. Yeah. The attacker's got all the momentum with it, and he's, you know, done what he should do. He's got the header down. He's gone in the back of the net. But if you're looking at it from your point of view, potentially the wrong player marking it, and yeah, he also got a run on him as well, which we are keen that a set piece is dangerous.
I would not concede many for corners, which makes this even more sort of, when they alarm me, but just the more annoying. I think it's only the third or fourth goal that we've conceded for a corner this season. So that's obviously a disappointing thing, but it was a simple one for him. It was, you know, for an East Fife point of view, it's the perfect corner. Just swing it into an area and just get somebody on it.
I sort of file that goal in the category of it's avoidable. You could argue every goal that we concede is avoidable, but the first team, we just didn't deal with it, and it takes a deflection. That's frustrating. But this one, you sort of think, yeah, we've been a set piece, as you said. We really didn't concede many of them. It's probably frustrating that we do. And the way we started the game, with it being slow again, being a wee bit wasteful with the two, they didn't even trouble the goalkeeper, and then conceding two goals, yeah, just a frustrating, really poor 25 minutes.
And, you know, we thought that was bad, but they had the ball in the back of the net. Thankfully, the referee had already blown for a foul on the keeper, we think it was. But at that stage, you know, in fact, it'd been 3-0, there would just been no way back for us then.
Yeah, I think they'd a volley from the corner as well. I can't remember if that was after what would have been the third or before it. But it's just whistled past the post. There was a foul, inverted quotes, on McKenzie. If that's... If we're attacking and that's giving us a foul, I'm really annoyed. So I'd probably say East Fife can be really hard done by. No exaggeration to say we could have been 4-0 due, you know, after 35 minutes. So, yeah, a wee bit alarming. But, yeah, East Fife certainly had a couple of chances.
We do get a bit of a lifeline 5 minutes before half-time. We get a penalty. It's a foul on Jordan Brown. Now,
here we go.
There is a bit of a debate as to whether. No, I say debate. If you're an East Fife supporter, you obviously say it was now. And if you listen back to the highlights, you watch the highlights back, I should say, and listen to the commentary on the highlights, they're adamant it's not a penalty. I kind of see how you kind of see this as a penalty. You kind of give this as a penalty. He's kicked Jordan in the ribs.
Yes, but I think my counter argument would be the defender gets a touch in the bar. Fits he meant to do thereafter?
Does he touch?
He cannot make himself disappear. Right. There's also going to be contact. It's a contact sport. Mm-hmm. I'm pleased that we've got it. It's gone for us. Okay, we've missed the result penalty. Again, I'll flip it. If it's against us, again, I wouldn't be happy with that. And, yeah, by all accounts, the referee didn't have the greatest of games. As you said, the East Fife TV were apoplectic that he gave the penalty for it. You could tell by the co-commentator. I think it was one of their players as well that was injured. It was Dean. He was adamant it wasn't a penalty. But, yeah, I can see why there's maybe a slight debate on this one.
Do you think he touches the bar first?
I do. I think there's a slight contact on the bar. That's why I'm saying I don't care for his face meant to do. It's probably like one of them fouls where two players are running towards the ball. He makes contact with the ball. He cannot then just stop the momentum. But Jordan's in the right place at the right time. The referee's a good view as well. He's sort of looking right at it. Pretty quick to give the decision. So yeah, he was adamant. That's nothing really to go on the referee's decision, well, but as we've seen this season. But yeah, I think if it was against us, we'd be disappointed that was given against us.
If it was against us, the first thing I'd be saying is, well, you need to just start up with no foul. Obviously, just let the player take the bar and they foul him. That's the first thing you would need to, because then you can then block the potential shot or cross or whatever Jordan was about to do. So you do run the risk of conceding penalties like that if your feet's that high up.
Yeah. Oh, 100% agree. I think he probably didn't even need to make that challenge. I think where the ball is, where Jordan is in relation to the goal, I think it would have taken a very, very good effort to score from that angle. Probably doesn't need to make it, and they got away with it, the fact that we missed it.
Yeah, the penalty is missed. It's saved. Shanks' penalty is saved, as we said. It's how's your luck, as you said before. it's been touched onto the post. It then runs across the goal line, hits the other post, and then before Shanks can tap it in, the defender gets there. And it's just, as I said, he really needs a bit of luck at the minute.
See, when your luck's out, your luck is properly. He could try that 1,000 times and he would not manage to hit post and post again without it going in. Just unbelievable sort of events. Like I said, I think we're maybe slightly fortunate to get a penalty, and you think, right, this is a rub of the green that we're needing, a wee bit of luck. Here and you're thinking, yeah, okay, his confidence back. It's a good save, in fairness. I kind of just said a minute ago it was missed. It was actually a save by the keeper. Keaton has missed it. Mm-hmm. And to hit post to post, and it nae flat up here, he'd play it as well. It's just, like I said, you could try it 1,000 times and they do it again.
And obviously, the debate will obviously rage about who takes the next one. Obviously, Rory was not on the pitch at the time. The last time we got a penalty, it was Rory it took it, but because the Shanks was off. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when they're both on the park the next time. We've had 7 penalties this season. Rory's had 2 and he's scored 2. Shanks has scored 3. Uta has 5. As obviously his last one was due to Body Rig, I think it was, with the draw down there. So he missed that one. Both misses have been at the same side. I wonder if that's a thing that the keepers have maybe picked up on.
Yeah, we came with the guys that analysed the games. It's not only right, is it?
Analyse
the game. There we go. Finally got there. They analyse the game. They do a lot of research for the goalkeepers and the way they're going to go. You've seen it on water balls and everything. But for me, if there's a penalty and Kieran's in the park, I would still like him to take it. He needs one of them. He needs a goal for his confidence. And it's one of them things when you fall off a bike, you're told to get back on it. Mm. He done a shirk away for the penalty. He's helped us, he's bailed us out so many times. This season with late goals and crucial goals, let him take the next one if he's on the park.
Yeah, that's the thing. You need to kind of, for a striker like him, he needs to be scoring goals, and maybe a penalty might be the thing for him the next time. It's one of the things, as you said, just getting back on it and do it again. Because the longer he goes without missing, without scoring a penalty, and then the pressure comes on the next time because maybe Rory's not on and he has to take it.
Yeah, that's why if you get a penalty, whenever it be, let him take it. Okay, if he misses again and it's the same side, then you've maybe got a situation on your hands. But at the moment, yeah, I think if he's on the park, let him take the penalty and get his confidence back with it.
So 2-0 down at the break. The one thing you want when you're 2-0 down at half-time is to come out the second half and try and get an early goal, and that's exactly what we did through Jordan Brown. Wonderful goal for him at the edge of the box. A lot of pressure on the East Fife defence, getting plenty of bodies forward. I think it's O'Keefe, it's come on and managed to win the ball. And Jordan, a great finish for the edge of the box, and he'll be delighted with that one because it means he'll be in for the goal of the month award, because as he keeps saying this, you can only win a goal of the month or a goal of the season if it's outside the box. So we think this one's just outside the box, so he'll be in for a shout this time.
The goal sort of reminded me a wee bit of the one that he scored against Aberdeen B back in the up. He sort of opens up his body and just top corner, does really well to get it over the defender's head, but low enough to go in the under the keeper as well. So yeah, really, really, it's a good finish. It's almost like a striker's finish, really. Mm. Very calm, composed, and yeah, it's outside the box, so he'll be in the nominations.
So he can't de it. He just doesn't seem to de it very often. That's maybe the problem.
Well, he maybe needs to win one of our awards and then I'll maybe start doing it more often. That's maybe what it is.
Yeah. Well, so far we've only got 4 goals this month, so
if he doesn't make it, he's really unlucky.
If he doesn't get it this time, yeah, there's something far wrong. There has to be a worldie coming in for some way. So, you know, we're pushing on second half. Try to obviously get that equaliser. It eventually comes late on. I think pretty much most of the folk inside the stadium think the game's done. We're into like 3-4 minutes of added time, but we haven't given up, we haven't stopped, we keep going. And we've gotten our reward. We've gotten the equaliser. McKenzie with a long ball up, flicked on well by McAllister and Shanks on the edge of the box, manages to pick out Scott Ross. And as a defender, it's a great poacher's finish for him.
Ah, yeah, really, really good. But I'm just going to go back. It's like one stage further. You mentioned about Stuart McKenzie. See the pass to McKenzie for Ryan Strachan. He's under pressure for the striker as well. 30 seconds left in the game. So easy just to try and hoof it up the park aimlessly. But he's played it back to the keeper under pressure as well. Mm. McKenzie, great ball forward. McAllister, really good flick on. Now, some folk argue, why is Kieran Shanks and 18 the shot? You can use your striker, but he's played it into a player that's in a better position, and he's got to take credit for that. Yeah, you'd love him to score a goal, he'd have scored the equaliser late on, but he's really like Scott Ross in a better position. Really great weighted ball across, easy to get that wrong, and obviously Scott's finished off. So, yeah, from Ryan all the way through to Scott finishing off, I thought it was a really good move.
Yeah, and I think Jordan said it in his post-match as well, it would have been easy for Shanks to try and take the shot on, to try and make up for the penalty miss and maybe just lash it out of the bar or something like that, and then we've come away with a defeat and everybody's looking at Shanks going, well, he's now scored again. But with that composure, he's looked at Scott Ross and thought, well, yeah, as you said, he's in a better position, let's play it into him. And he's got just a simple tap in, and now it gives Shanks his sixth assist of the season.
Yeah, and I'm delighted that Shanks is, you know, it's a goal contribution. He's still involved. He's maybe lacking a wee bit of confidence, as we said, in front of goal with the penalty miss. Had he blasted that one over, again, folk might have been saying, oh, that's two efforts and he's not got it on target. But he hasn't. He's played it across to Scott Ross. Really good finish. And you've seen by the celebration right at the end as well, everybody was involved. Even Stuart McKenzie right at the end, coming all the way up to celebrate with his teammates. That's quite a big result. I think it's a draw. We were 2-0 down and we missed a penalty. Didn't start the game off well. We could have been, as we said at the start, with 3 or 4-0 down. So, yeah, it's a big point. I wouldn't go as far as say it could be a turning point, but it's certainly one that will give a few guys a bit of confidence that even at 2-0 down, we can still come back and get a good result.
Yeah, we might have questioned the fight, the desire in previous weeks, but it's certainly, you could see it there in that game.
Oh, yeah, massive. A lot of hunger, a lot of determination to try and get something for the game. As you said, Scott Ross popping up right at the end in a striking position. But even the flick on from McAllister, that willingness to get in front of the guy, the defender or the midfielder in the middle of the park and flick it on. Composure of his chance to play it to Scott Ross. So, yeah, as I said, really, really good goal. The timing of it as well. And you see him with the team spirit right at the end, everybody celebrating.
And it wasn't, though, like East Fife really sort of, I wouldn't say they dominated the game as such, really. I think they had 3 shots on target the whole game. Obviously, they scored 2 of them. Other than that, as I said, there wasn't much else that they really offered in terms of an attacking threat. If we eliminated, you know, the early mistakes, we could have come away with that game with a win again.
Yeah, just the way I said it, they were clinical with the chances they had, but I would say especially the second unit comes down for naivety and, you know, poor decision making. So, yeah, 2-2, it's a good point given the fact they were 2-0 down, probably frustrating that we hadn't won the game, but it's maybe one of them, you know, will start to, you know, give us a wee bit of confidence going forward.
Yeah, and it goes without saying that, I mean, the fact we'd been last season, we definitely wouldn't have won that game. So it definitely shows that we've progressed quite a bit. It doesn't mean that we're now 16 points behind Stenhouse Muir, who are obviously flying high at the top. We are 4 points ahead of Spartans, but they've got 3 games in hand, which is key. 5 ahead of Dumbarton, they've got 2 games in hand. So everybody, it's below us, have got games in hand. But I think, more crucially, though, we're 13 ahead of Bonnyrigg, who are sitting in fifth. So I wouldn't just quite say guarantee that a playoff place is all but secure, but we're certainly, we've got a big enough gap there that I don't think we should be worrying too much about other teams, you know, competing for that playoff spot.
No, I think we should be okay. I can, it's a bit premature saying that in January, but yeah, I think we should be okay. We've got the points on the board. I think if we're in a couple of teams out with two games in hand or three, we've got the points on the board. That means that a lot of these teams will be playing three games within a week. And as we've discovered, we've been at twice this season already, it's tough going. There's a lot of travelling as well, depending on who they're playing. So I think we're okay. A couple more wins, and I'll be more confident.
Yeah, let's get a couple of your thoughts on the Saturday's game then. We'll start with Peter Bruce. Glad to get the point. We now have a strong pool of players. Let's push on and see if we can gain points on Stenhouse Muir. Neil Thompson, again, for the first hour we were so dire, got caught with long balls behind us. Our defence was so poor. It was so poor I can't remember when we were so poor. Kieran was unlucky that the keeper pulled off a fine save. The only saving grace was that we did not give up and eventually grabbed the point. Flynn Duffy looked handy on his return. Thought Danny Strachan was our best man today, winning the ball numerous times and driving on. Graham McLean, great debuts for Flynn and Alfie. Caleb, unlucky with a deflected goal. Each player playing a vital contribution. Still not getting the lucky bounce all teams need, but our determination saw us claim the share of the points. Keep it up, our time will come. A lot of positives, as you would expect, as I said, from that. Again, Danny Strachan being pointed out as one of the better players, and it has been, I think he's been one of our most consistent players this season.
That's just the way you say it's not the first time, isn't it, that Danny's been singled out for a positive bit of praise, which is really good. And yeah, I think the general feeling is being 2-0 down and coming back is a positive result. Well, it depends what the club were looking for at the start of the season. You know, were they wanting to go up as champions, or were they just happy to be in the playoff promotion push, which we're firmly in a really good position if that's the case for the promotion. So yeah, in hindsight, it's probably a good point.
It's definitely a good point considering where we are. If there's like 25 minutes, to get the two goals back and play well and still create chances as well. And as I said, they've given up. That's obviously the desire that we haven't seen in recent weeks. So hopefully that, you know, gives us that fire and kicks us on again for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, the form lately hasn't been great, but the bench on Saturday looked a lot healthier as well. Mm. Starting to get players back. A few new recruits have come in this week as well. So compiled with a positive result. Obviously, training was a lot different last week with the weather that we had to kind of train properly. So now, Stenny on Saturday, you're hoping for that again just to kick on.
So just one note, with the Scottish Cup fifth round ties being played on the 10th of February, our game against Bonnyrigg obviously will be rescheduled. At the time of recording, there's been no word as to when that will be. You'd imagine it might be the week after, it might be the week weekend, or the midweek before. It just depends. Obviously, as I said, Bonnyrigg already have two games in hand on us, so they've also got two games to kind of reschedule on that as well. But they will be playing Aberdeen instead of us that weekend. So, but a few tasty ties in that Scottish Cup draw. But Bonnyrigg obviously beating Falkirk, going through such a great unbeaten run in the league, and then going and beating them, which was a fantastic result, and then getting the draw against Aberdeen at Pittodrie. I thought Bucky were slightly unlucky, given that it was 5-0, but you know they did well for the first 25 minutes,
which is more than can be said for Aberdeen for they go to Parkhead. To be fair,
there's a few teams that have gone there this season and got absolutely spanked, so Bucky can sort of hold their heads high, I think.
Yeah, the results are actually good. Well, I say result. Forfar, very, really good performance against Hibs in the Cup as well. I thought they put in a really good performance for that Elite 2 side. So, yeah, I don't think the Premiership teams have had it easy Hurt sort of struggled as well against Spartans. Hibs just getting through against Forfar. So, yeah, I think Bonnie Riggle, the half, well, will they be happy? Yeah, they'd probably prefer Aberdeen at home, but, you know, an away tie, Premiership ground, good bit of money for them coming in.
Yep. Right, so let's get some of your questions. We like getting your questions coming in. Some of them have come in, some interesting ones. We'll start with Danielle Ritchie. Do we need another striker? What happens if Shanks or McAllister gets injured, or we just rely on midfield players? It's an interesting one, because obviously we've let Aaron go. We only have Shanks and McAllister as out and out strikers, but as we've said previously, you know, Akeef can slot up there. Robert Ward can slot up there as well, and we've seen Peter Pollitt, he can probably play up there as well. So there are options. It just means that we're going to have what you would classify as out and out forwards.
I would like to get another striker in if the budget's there. I think we probably need it. I think we were speaking about, you know, leaving Shanks for taking penalties out, but there does come a time where a striker maybe just needs a timeout. And if you don't have that third striker that can come in and rotate, if you're playing two up top or whatever, then it can be difficult when you're lacking confidence. Rory is obviously of an age now where you want to get 90 minutes every week. So he, again, probably needs a break from time to time. So I think if we've got the budget there, try and get another striker in for 6 months, I don't think it would be the worst thing to happen.
It's probably the most difficult position to try and get somebody in January, because if you're looking at somebody you want to try and get you to score your goals, they may well be playing in a team that's and he's scoring goals, so therefore that team will not want to be letting him go. So you're looking at then the loan market, and then if you're looking at a loan market, you're probably looking at, you know, somebody like Alfie Stewart coming in, for example, of that kind of caliber. Has he played enough men's football, if you like, at this level to justify giving him game time, and you know, is he going to get you the goal? So it's a big risk trying to get somebody in at this stage of the season to try and get you some goals.
If there's a striker out there scoring goals, he's obviously playing for a club regularly, and they want to recall a player, put him out on loan. But then if you're scoring goals, do you want to come to a team that you might be playing third choice in, and then not getting as much game time? The parent club will maybe not allow that to happen. So, yeah, difficult. You don't want to just take in a player just to warm a bench either. Mm. You know, you've got to get that balance, especially, as you said, when you've got like Keith and Pollitt that can play up there in an emergency situation. So, yeah, difficult to try and get somebody in. I'd imagine if it was to get somebody in, again, it would be a 17, 18-year-old just making their way in the game, probably. But yeah, maybe one to keep an eye on.
Could always play Scott Ross up front if we need to, because he's obviously got this goal scoring touch.
Well, he's got a few goals this season now. Is it six he's got?
Six he's got this season already.
Six goals, so
Kane's
the big
Kane's
man fancies
a run up front. Kane's where the net is, so that's all you need. So touching on what you were saying about parent clubs, Neil Thompson has asked, do parent clubs apply any pressure for loan players to be played regardless of our needs? And it's an interesting one, because I think it comes down to A, what the parent club, their expectations of that player is when they're at the loan club, and what the loan club's expectation is of that player when he arrives.
Yeah, so it's interesting, because this probably comes in the back of the Aaron Reid situation, where he didn't really get much time as maybe people have anticipated. So the parent club will apply, wouldn't say pressure, but they'll keep a keen eye, because it's their player, they want to see the player doing well. But they'll also be getting reports back on how the player is developing and training, and how they are, you know, playing a game. And if they're not just quite there, then obviously that gets fed back, and then their perspective of what their player should be doing out on loan will maybe slightly change. Hence the reason Aaron went back and he's dropped down a division to go for Martin, where he'll probably play a lot more football than he would have done worse for the rest of the season. So I wouldn't say they apply pressure, but they certainly keep a keen eye, and they want to see their player obviously do well. But it's got to be a situation that's happy for all three, the parent club, the loan club, and the player. And as we've seen with Aaron, to use him as an example, it wasn't quite working out for him. He wasn't getting the game time that Aberdeen felt he needed. Peter Heath could not guarantee him that game time. So obviously he was recalled and put out to Fermanagh.
And just because he's on loan at Peter Heath, as using again Aaron's example, he will still be training through the week with Aberdeen on a full-time basis. So, you know, he'll still be speaking to them, you know, how's things getting on, you know, are you playing enough, are you getting enough out of what you need at your stage of your career, and these all kind of things will come about. You know, if he'd been playing regular and, you know, he'd scored maybe 3 or 4 goals at this stage of the season, it might be a case that that's enough for them, enough for Aberdeen to say, well, you can keep him there for the rest of the season. It might be other things. It might just be a case of maybe the training regimes weren't for him. Maybe he just didn't fit in once he'd arrived. These things happen. But I was, in terms of, you know, what Neil's question is, did the parent clubs apply a pressure? That maybe just comes down to each club.
Yeah, the players got a huge say in it as well. As you said, they're training full time with their parent club. Again, using Aaron as an example, with Aberdeen and Peter Reid. So they'll be fully aware of how he's developed in the last 6 months as a person and as a player as well. Because you don't want him potentially going into a dressing room and maybe getting bad vibes or anything. That plays a part as well. So it's got to work out for all parties. Again, using Aaron as an example, it didn't quite work out for him and Peter Reid, but that's not to say that in 2-3 years' time he wouldn't have been back and loading, you know, smashing the goals in. So, yeah, we'll hope Aaron does well. He got off to a really fine start for Fermanagh the other week. Just unfortunate it didn't work out at Balmour.
George Collander asks, do we need a bit of perspective on our progress? Given where we were last season, would anyone have thought we'd be leading the league before the halfway point? Had we been offered a playoff place before a ball was kicked, I for one would have taken that, considering how bad we were last season. I like the fact that our support, that we are encouraging our team to be league winners, but I think we are doing pretty well so far. This is an interesting one, because obviously at the start of the season, I for one, and I think maybe yourself as well, were thinking that we should be pushing as high up as we can and looking to win the league. I mean, that's what everybody wants to do at the start of the season. Everybody's expectations, you know, whether it's publicly or not, you'll want to win the league or just try and win as many games as you can. And I think we're in that camp of, yeah, we're looking at the other teams around about us. The players that we've brought in should be good enough to be challenging at the top of the table. I think what's maybe masked things slightly is this run that Stenhouse Muir has been on. I don't think anybody would have anticipated any side at the start of the season running away with this league like they have. And I think that's maybe where, you know, people are maybe sort of questioning, well, are we good enough to win it? I still think we are good enough to win it. Look at our quarter one results. We've got 19 points out of 27. Quarter two, we've only got 14. So there's only a 5-point difference. But again, because Stenhouse Muir have gone on this run, that's maybe where people are saying, well, maybe a playoff is only good enough.
I don't like going into a season, you know, even last season when we were that bad, you didn't go into the season thinking, yeah, we'll probably finish in the bottom half. You want to win the division. You don't have played fat, but you go, yeah, I'm quite happy with fourth, fifth. But you've got to be realistic. And yeah, start of the season, I was really confident. People outside the club were saying, oh, Peter Reid will finish mid-table, struggle to get in the promotion playoffs. We've seen how quarter one went. We thought, yeah, we've done really well. You want to try and kick on. But as you said, the run that Stenny's been on, is it 13 or 14 games now? So say in that period they'd only won 8, drawn 4 and lost a couple as well. Then our form and the gap in points isn't it as bad. If it was anywhere between 8 and 12, you'd still be thinking, yeah, we're in the mix, we're there or thereabouts. But yeah, it's a really good question. Perspective's probably needed. If somebody said to you, you'll get towards the end of January, if you'd, you know, said to you in the summer, you'll get to the end of the January with the squad turnover that we had, the players that have come out, you will be sitting second with 13 points ahead of the team in fifth. Yeah, we probably would have bitten your hand off. It's just maybe the way our form sort of dipped off in the last 6-7 weeks. Stenny's has just gotten, you know, on a fantastic green winning streak. You know, both things combined. Yeah, I can see why there's maybe a bit of perspective needed. It's a really good question.
There's a few I've been asking about, you know, if there's going to be any male bodies coming in the January window before it closes next week. Likelihood is probably not. I mean, if you look at the squad that we've got at the minute, Obviously, not including the two guys who are out on loan. We've currently got 21 players that are available. Again, not including Conor Duffy, who's out for the season, and not including Kieran Gibbons. So, you know, we've got a squad of 21 with 18 players in the squad on Saturday, with only three missing, one of which was Andy McCarthy because he was suspended, and Jason Brown, and Joe McKee because they were injured. So, really, we've now got all those injured players back. For example, you know, we've got eight defenders now available, nine midfielders as well. So is there a need to bring in more bodies? Is the squad that we've got good enough? I think it is.
I think it's good enough. Maybe an outside chance of a striker coming in. Like you said, I think that third option, again, as you mentioned, you've got Conor O'Keefe and Paula, etc., can play there. Wouldn't it be against them if they, you know, a striker was to come in? But as you said, we've now got that a good squad. So this is where we've maybe bemoaned the form that we've been in lately. We've mentioned numerous times about the bench and the lack of quality, sometimes with the two goalkeepers or maybe just two outfield players. We've now got the bench, you know, the players on the bench to be able to make changes within a game and try and be proactive and try and win the game. This is when you're now looking for us to try and kick on and, you know, get that form back to where it was in, you know, quarter one.
Yeah, so that's the questions. Thanks very much for your comments and your questions. We do appreciate them. So on to Saturday's game against Stenhouse Muir. As I said, they're running away with this championship. It seems to be 12 wins on the bounce that they've got now. In fact, they're unbeaten in 17. They haven't lost a game since the 26th of August, which is a phenomenal run in the league. They have to get beat at some point. They have to drop points at some stage. This is a game, obviously, as I've said, we're 16 points behind them. Should they win this, that obviously opens the gap up to 19. I think we could pretty much say, obviously, it's still mathematically possible, but I think that they could pretty much hand them the championship there and then, because I think there's nobody going to be catching them. If we manage to get a win against it, that reduces it down to 13. Okay, it's still a relatively big gap, but it's a hell of a lot smaller than 19. And maybe we can just start chipping away at that, and, you know, maybe the pressure will start piling on them.
As you said, they've got to get beat at some point. I think if we've got any aspirations of winning the title, this is to be a must win. But I think if we're being realistic, promotion playoffs is where we'll be at. And yeah, probably be happy with it come the end of the season. They've got to get beat, as I said, at some point. I think we can do it. They're on a really good run. Complacency might set in. You never know. But it's all ifs and buts. But I would be I'd be tempted to stick a tenner on Peter Heath to win on Saturday, because I don't know. There's something just tells me they've got to lose a game at some point. But like you, if they take that to 19 points, I think the championship's done. To be fair, I probably think it's done already, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, if we do beat them on Saturday, as I said, that turns it to 13 points. That gives us a bit of a lift. It maybe just gives them a bit of a, oh, actually, maybe this isn't just as going to be straightforward as we thought.
Oh, can you imagine the pressure on Steny? And it sounds daft, but if it does get to 13 points and they've lost a game, they draw their next one, or they lose it, then things just start. You just start thinking, Christ, we've been top of the table for so long, are we about to throw it away? All ifs and buts, but this is providing we win on Saturday. There's no point in a draw. Doesn't really suit us if we're going for the title. If you're looking just to be in the promotion playoffs, then it's a good point against a team that's won 12 in a row. Players are coming back for us as well from injury. I am expecting a big performance.
And we've seen Dumbarton a couple of seasons ago, they completely collapsed and they had such a big lead as well. So it is possible it could happen, but 0-0 and 2-0 were the results so far this season. We need to score against them because we haven't done that yet.
The first home game of the season we had Steny.
Yeah, it was.
And we were pretty poor. It was a pretty poor game, actually. Mm-hmm. And then we got beat 2-0 down there, horrible conditions, and they scored two fantastic goals. That was when we were playing three games in a week in the midweek game. So, yeah, I think they've maybe had the better of us this season. like they have with most teams, but we've got to go into the game in a positive mind. It's a positive result on Saturday, coming back for 2-0 down, as we said. So you've got to use that as a springboard to try and go into the game against any. I don't think sitting back and trying to contain is any good. Go at them and see what they can do.
And you would think, because they're so far ahead and they're winning games, that they would be scoring a lot of goals. They've only scored 3 goals more than us this season. They've scored 38, we've scored 35. But defensively is where it's been key. They've conceded 10 goals less than us. We've conceded 23, they've conceded 13. That might be the difference. You look at some of the results as well. They're winning games, you know, 1-0, 2-1, 2-0. Very rarely are they blowing away teams, if you like. I think they beat Stranraer 3-0 at one point. Obviously, we mentioned the 2-0 against us. Other than that, it's most of their wins have been by a single goal.
They seem to score a lot of goals in the 75th minute or later.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lot of their games have got late goals. And yeah, they just didn't seem to accept a draw. They constantly go for it or try and push on for that winner, which might play into our hands. If, you know, if it's the game's coming towards the end and it's a draw, they're pushing for the winner, we can get them on the counter or whatever. So yeah, I think it should be a decent game. I don't think it'll be anything like the game that we had in August up here. I think both teams will be wanting the win for different reasons. Yeah, it should be a decent game.
Did you anticipate a few changes to the starting lineup? Andy McCarthy will be available again. Peter Pollock started, got 65 minutes. Rory was on the bench. He came off the bench on Saturday. Could you anticipate him starting again? Maybe Pollock dropping to the bench?
I think Pollock will drop to the bench and come on in the second half. I think Rory will come out. Joe McKee, Andy McCarthy, these guys are very good footballers. I think they might come in. Flynn Duffy will probably start at left back. So yeah, I think there could be a couple of changes, but I think the quality on the bench and the depth that we'll have will be telling as well, where we can actually make proactive substitutions, whereas before it maybe hasn't quite worked out like that. Obviously, you've got Hamish Ritchie as well, a quality player. If you can try and get him in his best role and best position, then I think we'll do fine. But yeah, it'd be fine just to fill a bench again.
And I think maybe Jason might be the only one that it could be missing him and Joe and Andy that they were missing for Saturday. So as I said, it'll be interesting to see once they get, you know, 19, 20 players available, who starts, who's on the bench, and where they start.
Yeah, I think with Jason, with the lack of training last week as well due to the weather, especially with players coming back, as I said, I think we need to risk him. He's the sort of guy who wants to play every week. He wants to play 90 minutes as well. But you can, you know, run the risk of re-aggravating the injury if we don't look after him. So don't rush him back. It's going to be difficult because the guys, Jordan and Ryan, are going to have to leave out players that, you know, maybe done pretty well for us this last month or so, but they're going to have to, you know, might not even find themselves a place on the bench once everybody's fully fit, which as a manager is maybe not a bad situation to be in because you've got a pool of players that you can pick from. But yeah, it'd be difficult to leave guys out.
And is Jordan going to drop himself after scoring Saturday? That's really the big thing.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that he's put a decent game and then dropped himself and put him on the sidelines. But when you score a goal that's as good as that, do you want to drop yourself? He maybe wants to score another aim just to make sure he's in that nominees for the goal of the month.
So, yeah, a big game on Saturday. We really need to push on. As I said, a win at minimum, really.
Not only to win to close the gap in Steny, but as you said, the teams below us in a couple of games in hand, it would be nice just to stretch that 4 points and make it 7. Just to give you that, obviously, because finishing second gives you that advantage of missing a round as well in the playoffs if it comes to that. So there's two sides to closing the gap to Steny as well as, you know, getting ahead of teams in third.
Okay, I'd like to say now, joining me on the Blue Toon podcast to get his take on Steny's season so far is Conor Ferguson. Conor, welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad. You must be loving life at the moment, being part of this historical run with Steny at the minute.
Oh, it's brilliant, but I'm not counting my chickens yet. Still a few games to go, like, definitely.
I kind of mathematically, it's still possible, but is a title race pretty much done and dusted?
Well, I mean, to be honest, in my personal opinion, I think Spartans have still got a few games in hand. Yeah. And obviously, we've got yourselves at the weekend. If we beat yous and, you know, Spartans don't pick up points, then I would like to say, yeah, Chris, probably one hand on the trophy.
I guess publicly, a lot of the guys at Steny will be saying, yeah, it's still a long way to go, but maybe secretly they'll be thinking this is a big opportunity to try and get it done and dusted pretty quickly, especially if you come up to Balmoor on Saturday and get the 3 points.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's definitely a feel-good factor around the whole club. Obviously, I've only been in now for about 8 months, but it's been a great journey to be on with them. You know, obviously, most people in the league will know that Stenish Muir have never won a title. Only club in 42 to never have won a title, and to be a part of that, you know, and that, I think it's only 100 odd years it's going to be fantastic. I just can't wait for the day. To be honest, a few beers will be had.
You certainly don't want to jinx it at this stage, no, do you?
No, I don't want to jinx it. No, that'll be it. Now we'll full of injuries probably.
Yeah, that's it. You've kind of been lucky with Nathan injury. I know we've suffered quite a bit with injuries and suspensions. I think a few other teams have been. You've been pretty okay with that so far.
Yeah, no, definitely. We were just looking at some of the stats here. It was with the minutes, like with players like Nat Wedderburn, DJ, you know, Nicky Jameson and all that, Gregor Buchanan, just constant players, and they're like our big performers as well. I remember Gary saying at the start of the season, you know, we want a tight and not a huge squad, but we want a tight group, like core players. And when you're hearing that at the start of the season, you're thinking, oh, I don't know. But obviously, the manager trusts his players to be fighting for every win and be up to the task and be fit. So I'm glad we just trusted his judgment on that. But no, is it luck? Is it? I don't know. It's up to the manager, but it's not. It's certainly been good. Yeah.
Is it a case now that you're going into a lot of these games now? I wouldn't say expecting a win, but it's that anticipation of a win comes with this run.
Well, it certainly does. I think the players are doing it to themselves. Essentially, just you know, it's ours to lose now. Mm. Which is going to bring added pressure on themselves. But see, to be honest, see after the Brora game, we've seen such a reaction from the players. You know, getting beat by Island League opposition and then to have the reaction that they have has been absolutely outstanding. And Stenish Muir, they're not the best team to watch in the league, I think, personally. But they're just finding wins from somewhere, and they're just just very solid, hard to beat, and that's what you can ask for the team. And when you're pushing on, and you know, because there's been teams out there that have pushed us. Stranraer the other day was you know, challenged us quite a bit. You know, asked questions of us, but we're just answering the questions every time and pushing producing results at the bag, which is to me is a sign of a league winning team. To be honest, especially when you're being as consistent as we are.
Yeah, a lot of your results have been, you know, 1-0, 2-1s, 3-2s here. Very rarely have you sort of blown away a side, you know, 3-0, 4-0 or anything like that. Obviously, you did beat us 2-0. I think there was a Stranraer result where you won 3-0 as well earlier on in the run. Yeah. But is it a case that you're grinding out results, or are you doing enough in games to win them?
I think we're doing enough to win them. I wouldn't say it's grinding out. I think it's a part of kind of the way Gary wants to play football almost, you know. We got like, he's not really like a go out and attacking kind of manager. He's the way he sets up his team is to be solid and hard to beat. But that's all a part, to me, that's all a part of the plan. So if we're going up 1-0, 2-0, you know, I think he's putting a lot of faith in his back four and the defensive line to, or well, his whole team, as a matter of fact, to produce the win. And, you know, it's like he's got experience of this league as well. He's Fife, and so he knows what's to expect. And no, he's got everything right so far, I would say.
What's been the difference then between staying this season and last season? Would you say?
Well, he's kept a good chunk of the players, I think, and he's also recruited very well. But keeping that core group of players, and I'm seeing it around training and everything as well, before games and that, it's like even when they're celebrating, you know, against Spartans, when they came up to the camera, there's such like a unity there in this squad, and everyone's getting on, everyone's just clicking and connecting, and when you're having that off the pitch, you can see that on the pitch as well, in the kind of way they're playing, with connecting passes, everyone's just wanting each other to do well and stuff like that, and especially with Gregor Buchanan as well, just leading the back line. You've got players like when Ross Meakin comes in as well, he's encouraging everybody, and he's a good person to have in that squad as well. It's just a good mix of good guys essentially as well, and like people experienced in that league. But I think Gary's kept the majority of the players, and also just strengthened correctly. He's not went out and desperately got players in to fill for the sake of it, but he's took his time and proper picked up good players that are going to add to the squad, not even just with ability wise, but just like mentally as well. So no, it's been.
And talking of recruitment, how's the business been in the January transfer window so far?
Yeah, no, it's been good so far. I think Kyle Jacobs is one there. He's not been a starter yet, but it's hard to break into this team. I think, especially when you're winning games like this. You know, there's players that's been here all season that are, if you go off injured, you're going to struggle to get back into this team, because you've got another player that's just wanting to fight for that position as much as anyone. So every signing that's kind of came in, it's hard for them to be outstanding, because we've already got outstanding players, you know. They're just adding to another great squad, but I would say personally we've recruited well. No, definitely recruited well, but we've already got good players there, so it's like, how did they fit into the picture? And I think they'll fit in once, like, you know, how long can this run go on for? It's up to Gary now to make his money and start adding in these players correctly, which, you know, so far he's got all the decisions right, and look at the form we're on, so only time will tell, really, I think, giving these players a chance.
Would you expect any more in before the window closes next week?
Oh, I don't know. I wish they would tell me stuff like this, but I don't. Again, like I said, where do you add? Where do you add? You know, we've got a brilliant goalkeeper, I think, and DJ. Curtis also on the bench, you know, is like, he's, if DJ ever went down, he's another, you can easily replace him. Like, it's the back four, you know, Buchanan, brilliant, Ian Lynch, I don't know where we could add, so I would think Gary's probably thinking the same, unless it's just more for depth now, really. It'll probably be a quiet rest of the transfer window.
0-0 the last time you were up at Balmoor, and then obviously you had the 2-0 victory down at your place. So let's say the results so far this season. What are you anticipating for Saturday's game?
Probably just to go in as favourites. Obviously off the back of the 12 wins in a row. Probably much as the same as the last time we were there. It's a difficult place to go up in Peterhead. Well, just set up the same and try and produce the win. I don't think it'll be a high scoring game, but it's all depends. Like, you know, I'd say you were more informed the last time we met, but now it's all changed. So no, I think Stenhouse Muir will keep the run going.
It was a crucial win the last game between the two sides for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely, absolutely. But I'm looking at every game now thinking it's all a crucial game. For me personally, it was the one against Dumbarton that I thought this is it, we're going to march on now. It's funny looking at the league, like the teams are dropping off and we're winning and the gap's just getting bigger. So it's mental how it's happened. You know, you're sitting looking when we got beat 2-0 off of Rural Rangers and you're like, oh, this is it. Stenny's going to... It's title race is over now. This is, well, not over, but like we're going to jinx it again. But they've just won again and won again and won again. And so I'm in the media team. it's brilliant content that they're providing me with. But nah, it's just It's just going to be, yeah, it's every win now is just as important as any other win we've got recently, yeah.
Matty Aitken's obviously a big player for you this season. I think he's got 13 goals this season in 21. Obviously, if we can try and keep him quiet, obviously that'll be a good day for us. But just how key has he been this season?
Yeah, his hold-up play has been very, very well. I think Gary's mentioned it a few times in a couple of interviews. He doesn't think there's a player that's better at what he does at this level. Also, to have someone like Matty Yates, who last season was on fire, I would say he's probably maybe playing just a bit more behind Matty Aitken now. But if it's two different types of strikers, and to have that on the park, you've got, it's just like having two different options. I think it's brilliant. They both complement each other well. And I mean, you look at like with the wing play that we're playing with as well, you know, Riley coming up in that, and it's just, I think Matty Aitken's, I would hate to play against him. He just looks like such a nuisance. He's quite physical. He can hold the ball up well. He can play on these wingers and left and right, and he knows where the back of the net is. He's like, you know, he's obviously he's outstanding at one thing. He's just a kind of good overall good striker up front to have. But no, he's been outstanding. But you got to look at the whole team as well. It's like the reason he's getting these goals is because of the build-up play from the back and everything, like Nat Wedderburn or Mikey Anderson and stuff like that. Adam Brown, you know, providing the balls in for the strikers as well. You know, it's brilliant to watch, and it's such a strong team performance all the time. You know, there's not one player that's outstanding. It's just the whole team clicks and the whole team is outstanding every time. It's, you know, it's hard to pick a man in the match most times because of it, he's definitely been good. Luke,
it's a squad that of really good League Two players. They know this league. They know how to get the wins, and probably could do well in League One as well. That's the thing.
Yeah, no, I think there's a few players in here that are definitely could even be League One standard. It's interesting thinking about that we could be playing in League One next season. But you know, it's going to be a tough league. You know, either Falkirk or Hamilton are going to go up, but you've still got some strong teams in there. But I think we've got the ability and the players, especially if we can keep a hold of them for next season. We're going to do well. I would even say we could avoid relegation if we go up quite comfortably. Just again, it's just our team it's hard to play against. But you know, and it'd be interesting to see how like a League One team would come at that as well, you know. But it's exciting times, yeah.
Before I let you go, obviously you've started up the Stinnesmuir podcast as well, fairly new this season. For those of us who maybe don't know what it is or where they can find it, tell us a wee bit about it.
Yeah, no, it's the official Stinnesmuir podcast. Basically, we're just trying to. Stinnesmuir has such a big community presence. It's not just 90 minutes on the park on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. So we just want to highlight these areas. Just it's for the fans as well. You know, it's to see what else is happening with the club. You know, we do such good community work that I just thought it was time to actually highlight all of this. Stuff from like Andy's, like today we've got Andy's Man Club on upstairs. We've got on with some of the analysts and all that stuff. We've got an assistant manager, but we're just trying to get one guest on a week to kind of point out all the good stuff that's happening and just show that there's more to football than anything else. We'll also go over the results and that and talk about all like the good run we're having. But no, it's just to point out, yeah, basically all the good stuff that goes on around the club, football club of Stinnesmuir.
And it's much easier to do a podcast when you're winning games than it is losing. Your timing couldn't be better.
When we're winning. No, definitely. We'll make our money when we start to lose.
Because it's an official one as well, do you find that you maybe have to kind of keep your, or watch what you're saying maybe?
I suppose so, but we've not really came to that yet. we've won 12 in a row, so you can't criticise a team that's doing that. But yeah, no, it will be mostly for, you know, talking about all the good work that we're doing. But I suppose we'll find out when the time comes, and hopefully it's not any time soon.
Well, best of luck with that for the rest of the season then, and obviously best of luck with you for what looks like is going to be a title-winning season for you. Thanks again for coming on, much appreciated, and we'll maybe talk to you later on in the season.
No problem, Colin. Thanks very much.
And that is it for this week. I do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Conor Ferguson for joining me to preview Saturday's game against Stenhouse Muir, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.